Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are lower. Crude oil now at $45.11 a barrel. It is down 4.9%. Gold down $5.30 the ounce to $13.61, a drop there of 0.4%. Treasuries falling with gold amid easing demand for haven assets ahead of tomorrow's payrolls report. The 10-year down 6.32, the yield there 1.39%. Equities lower across the board. NASDAQ dropping a point, a little change there. We've got the S&P down 9 points, a drop of 0.4%. The Dow down 91 points, a drop of 0.5%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
House Speaker Paul Ryan has sent a letter to the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, requesting that he deny any classified information to Hillary Clinton for the rest of the 2016 campaign. Let's find out more about Hillary Clinton, the email scandal, and James Comey, the director of the FBI, testifying before Congress today. I want to bring in Nafisa Sayed, national security reporter for Bloomberg News. Thanks for joining us, Nafisa. Tell us a little bit about what is at stake here in terms of the sort of reputation of the FBI and the Justice Department.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, today, Director James Comey was under an intense grilling from the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He was answering a lot of questions about whether there was any kind of bias or political influence from Hillary Clinton, the campaign, on his decision not to bring about criminal charges over the use of private email while she was Secretary of State. And Comey reinforced his message from a couple of days ago when he said they would not bring about charges, repeating himself several times and saying that no matter the circumstances, he would have reached the same conclusion. He spoke about how they had questioned Clinton, some of his agents, on Saturday, and found that she didn't really have an intent to, you know, break any laws. And so, again, saying why he came to that conclusion. Republican chairman of this committee, Jason Chaffetz, said that he was mystified and confused, and saying that there seems to be two standards for people who are, say, famous, such as Hillary Clinton, and the average Joe. So, again, they asked him, you know, was there any type of double standard? And if so, you know, did he take any bribes? Was there any kind of influence? And he kept saying, no, there was no bias, and he dismissed any kind of accusations or allegations that he was swayed in any kind of way.
So he was certainly steadfast on that. You know, it was a long testimony, and it's the story once again is in everybody's eye. But along in answering many questions, did he say something along the lines of he did not want to leave the impression that in similar cases there would not be consequences that others might have to face? Does that then give the critics some grounds for saying, well, hey, if other people might have consequences for this kinds of action, why doesn't Hillary? Is it just because she's running for president and you guys don't want to upset the apple cart? That seems to be the sense.
Right. And you heard that from some Republican lawmakers saying that, you know, are you creating a precedent that, you know, say if Hillary Clinton becomes president, she might be allowed to do the same thing? Or if there's an average person who were under the same kind of circumstances, you know, had classified information, but wasn't as high profile as Hillary Clinton, that you're saying that, you know, she might be allowed, he or she might be allowed to get away with something like this. And he said again and again that, you know, being able to establish whether the person actually wanted to break the law was part of what helped determine whether they were going to bring about charges. And so that's what's making it, you know, sort of a tense discussion, a tense time, because there is a lot of discussion around the fact that, you know, it is Hillary Clinton and the timing of his announcement the other day, just 2 days ago, where he made the announcement and then shortly after that, we had President Obama campaigning with Hillary Clinton. So, again, some of the, you know, congressmen were asking, you know, did you plan that timing? They were suspicious of how the events unfolded, and again, because of Hillary Clinton being the presumptive Democratic nominee.
Nafisa Saeed, thank you so very much for joining us on such a busy afternoon for you and your team in Washington. She's national security reporter for Bloomberg News. Now we turn to Jennifer Jacobs. She's senior national political reporter for Bloomberg News, also joining us from Washington today. And Jennifer, certainly the FBI may have declined to file any kind of charges against Hillary Clinton, but we can be pretty sure that Republicans led by Donald Trump will be filing all kinds of charges in their remarks over this. What are you hearing so far?
Yes. I know that was a topic of Donald Trump's meeting with some of the members of Congress this morning. And in fact, one member of Congress said he left that meeting saying that he's more confident than ever that Republicans can defeat Hillary Clinton now. So it's definitely a point of confidence for Republicans and something that they plan to use on the campaign trail.
Can you bring us up to date on the vice presidential candidates for Donald Trump as the Republican candidate for president?
Yes. So who knows who he's going to choose? My sources familiar with the search have told me he's narrowed it down to five people that he intends to make up his mind, hopefully by the end of next week, but definitely before the convention. But he truly does not know yet who he's going to pick. The vetting process continues. But in the meantime, he seems to be having a lot of fun. Instead of sneaking around and doing covert meetings with people, he's been very public about it. He had Sarah Palin tag along with him in Colorado Friday to a big fundraiser. He played golf on Saturday with Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana. On 4th of July, he had lunch in New Jersey with Joni Ernst, the senator from Iowa. In North Carolina, a big swing state, he had Tennessee Senator Bob Corker on stage with him and flying with him. Then last night in Ohio, it was another audition, this time for Newt Gingrich, the former speaker. And then he caught up with Jeff Sessions in D.C. today. So, and he keeps tweeting about these meetings and talking about it with reporters. So he's just building the intrigue. Who knows whether he will pick any of these people or if it'll be someone, you know, whose name hasn't even surfaced yet. But in the meantime, he's really stoking the excitement over who he's going to pick.
He certainly is. Is there any sort of, what's the deadline? I mean, how late can he wait to tell us?
Well, he needs to, for sure, at the convention, and we're 11 days out from the convention. But I'm told that he will make up his mind next week. He has not decided where he will announce, but he does want to make a big announcement at the end of the week. And, you know, in the meantime, he really seems to be enjoying himself, and it seems like it's almost like he's running promotions for a big primetime TV show by dropping all these hints. He's testing to see if these prospects can really rile up a crowd and how the GOP base reacts to them. But also, even if he doesn't pick, obviously won't pick most of these people, he's showcasing that he has the ability to have elected officials, establishment Republicans, respected people willing to stand up with him. Joni Ernst, for example, you know, she has said that she is not being officially vetted, so it sounds like she's crossed off our speculation list. But just by associating with her, she was the first female combat veteran elected to the U.S. Senate. Just by having her to lunch and being public about that, and perhaps Donald Trump helps himself with female voters and with military members, that sort of thing. So just by associating with these people, he's trying to promote himself in the campaign.
Jennifer, can we just talk about money for a second? Because Donald Trump, he raised more than $26 million through online and mail solicitations in June, plus another $25 million at Republican National Committee events. But that's less than Hillary Clinton. She's raised $68.5 million during the same time period. Are we just going to see increasing amounts of fundraising, and is the GOP fundraising machine working?
Yeah, so Donald Trump is really, really proud of that 51 million number that was for both the campaign and for the GOP parties, even though you're right, it was much less than Hillary Clinton. But he pointed out he was ramping up. He was just becoming the presumptive nominee. He was just getting his fundraising operation going. And for him to raise that much money in such a short amount of time, they really started trying new tactics, doing emails, these mass emails to Americans asking for small donations. He got his sons involved. People really respond to his children, to Ivanka, to Eric, to Don Jr. And so he was having his sons send email solicitations. He's been advertising on Facebook. So he's just starting to branch out. And he told members of Congress this morning in their closed-door meeting that he expects his July number to be much bigger than his June number.
So inside the Trump campaign and outside when you talk to people on the Hill, Donald Trump continues to say things that maybe delight Democrats because they think they're so terrible and outrageous and will turn off voters, but they also seem to annoy Republicans because they're off message and they seem to be concerned that Donald Trump has a hard time controlling what he says, too much shooting from the hip. What are you hearing?
Right. I talked to several members of Congress after their meetings, and Reed Ripple from Wisconsin said he's still not backing Trump. He said the reaction in that meeting this morning was muted. But Trent Franks from Arizona, congressman from Arizona, said he was a vociferous opponent to Donald Trump. He's now one of his most committed backers. So it's just, you know, I was told in this meeting this morning, Donald Trump did mention that $51 million that he raised. People raised some concerns and said, can we trust you to follow through with these promises that you're making on the campaign trail? Will you reform the welfare system? Will you help us defeat ISIS? Will you help us secure the border? And his answers to these members of Congress this morning, according to some of the members, was very satisfying. So for the most part, many of these members of Congress left these meetings and told us that they felt pretty good about it. There were some tense moments in the meeting with the senators we're hearing. The Washington Post reported on that. But for the most part, it sounds like they're building unity. People who didn't support him before are now telling us that they're starting to come on board, and they're very confident in him.
Thank you very much for spending time with us and illuminating the battle for the presidency. Jennifer Jacobs, senior national political reporter for Bloomberg News. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Kathleen Hayes, and this is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.